Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 12. Colossians, chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Our subject this evening is identifying with Christ. Well, we come this evening for another joyous occasion, another believer's baptism. This is our third baptism service since September, and we'll take our total of individuals baptized to seven this year, which is a great encouragement as a fellowship. We have been praying for many months, years, for more baptisms, for more laborers, for more helpers, more members, and the Lord has been answering those many prayers in recent weeks. And so at the end of this service, our two dear friends, Mrs. Remy Alley and Mr. David Udachuku, will give their testimonies, and then they will be baptized. But before they do that, we, as always on these occasions, spend a little bit of time in the Word of God to help us understand what baptism is, what it means, what it represents, what it communicates to all those who are witnessing a baptism, and also what baptism isn't. Some have the wrong idea of baptism, misconceptions, but for the right idea about baptism, we can only look to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? That's where we get the right idea about baptism. That's where baptism is truly defined. And so we come to this verse in the letter to the Colossians. Many of you know much of the New Testament is comprised of letters to Christians, to churches, instructing them how to live the Christian life and teaching them what the Christian life is all about. What does it mean to actually be a Christian? And this part of the letter to a church in a place called Colossae, therefore it's addressed to the Colossians, written by the Apostle Paul and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, this chapter is full of doctrine and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, about walking with him. And baptism is mentioned here, of course, in verse 12. Buried with him, that is with Christ, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. And this verse, well, it teaches us what baptism means. It is about identifying with Christ. That is what baptism is. When somebody is baptized, a believer is baptized, a believer is pronouncing to the world, to all those who are looking on, I identify with Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. We identify with Christ. That is what is going to be pronounced this evening. We identify with Christ. And well, this is our subject this evening. And needless to say, of course, the subject of identity is very topical at the moment. The world seems to be in the grip of an identity crisis. Mankind is in an identity crisis. It seems we don't really know who we are. Who are we, the human race is saying? Who are we truly? We can guess who we are. We can guess what we are doing on this earth. Guess an identity. We can even invent who we are. And many people, of course, are inventing identities for themselves nowadays. But we don't really know for sure who we are. Who are we really? That is what the world is struggling with. Who are we? And of course, The reason so many people don't know who they are is because they have departed from God and because they have departed from the Word of God. When you depart from God and you know nothing about the Word of God, you know nothing about the Bible, well, you will not know who you really are. You won't have an understanding because it's only the Bible that teaches us who we are. It's only the Word of God that tells us where we come from, our origins. Origin, well, it is so essential for identity. Where do we come from? You know, sometimes you get those movies. I used to watch a lot of superhero movies. And you know those movies, how they begin? They always begin with the superhero's origins. How did this superhero become how he is? How did Spider-Man become Spider-Man? How did Batman become Batman? You have to have the origins because otherwise you won't know who that person is. You won't really know the identity of that person. So the origin is very important. Or to put it another way, an orphan, a child, a boy or a girl who does not know their parents, does not know anything about their father or their mother or extended family, knows nothing about their background, their origin, well, that person will have identity problems. They don't know who they are. They don't know their father. They don't know their mother. They will struggle to find identity because they don't know where they come from. So origin is so important for identity, but it's only the Bible that gives us our origins, where we actually come from. The world of science does not do so. It can only give us theories. It can only give us possibilities as to where we all come from. Maybe it happened like this. Maybe it happened like that. That's all we get in the world of science. The scriptures, well, it's very clear. It's very authoritative. It tells us in no uncertain terms where you come from, where we all come from, that we have been created, that there is a creator, that we have a father in heaven. We're not orphans. We haven't come from nowhere. We have a father in heaven. We have a creator. And we read, well, we won't turn to it, but just briefly, we read in the book of Genesis that God made us in his image. In his image, in a similar way to a child looking like his or her parent, we have been made in the image of God. Not so much in a physical sense, in fact, not at all. But when we think about being made in the image of God, well, we could mention a number of things. We're made in God's image in the sense that we are rational beings. We have the power of reason. We have awareness. Animals don't have the power of reason. They live off instinct alone. We have reason and awareness to employ and to use in all that we do, the power of reason. Well, that power has come from somewhere. It's come from God. We are relational beings, just as God is. God is relational. God is one God, and yet within the Godhead there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know this, the doctrine of the Trinity, but what does that teach us about God? It teaches us that God is relational. He relates. Even within himself, there is a perfect relationship, a perfect agreement between all three persons of the Godhead. God is relational, and so are we. We're made in the image of God. We're able to relate to one another. We're able to love one another. Where does love come from? Well, God is love, says the scriptures. We are able to love because we are made in his image. And so this is giving us identity already. And of course, we have the capacity for spiritual life. Again, the animals, yes, they have life, glorious life in the animal kingdom, but they don't have capacity for spiritual life. They don't have capacity to know God and to enter into a relationship with God. We do. We have been made in the image of God. We have that capacity to know him, to love him, to know the love that he has for us. And so it is only when we choose God, it's only when we turn to God that we realize our true identity, our true identity. And yet, well, as I've already mentioned, so many do not turn to God. What a tragedy that is. So many ignore God and they try to find identity through other means. Other means. Identity in something else and define themselves in other ways. They have very little or nothing to do with God. And let me just, for a couple of minutes or so, compare the ways in which people try to find identity in the world with the way that God gives us identity. I'll only give a couple of examples, very simple. But for some people, their identity is entirely based on ethnicity. Their ethnicity is everything. That's what defines them. They dress according to their ethnicity. They eat according to the taste of their ethnicity, only foods associated with their country, their ethnicity. They speak in a manner that is appropriate to their ethnicity. Now, there's nothing wrong with that intrinsically. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but the point I'm trying to make is that is what defines them. That's the only thing that defines them. That's their whole identity. The identity that God gives us is very different. For the Lord, ethnicity is not important. You know, God gives us a new nationality. When you come to the Lord, he gives us a new nationality. We are those whose home is the kingdom of God. That's our nationality. That's our new identity. And God calls people from every ethnicity to enter into the kingdom of God. There is no prejudice. God calls out to everyone, whatever your ethnicity. You know, I often say this, but there are some religions, they only reach out to people from a certain people group, from a certain ethnicity. They're not interested in everyone from all nations. No, it's only a certain people, but not Christianity. Christianity reaches out to everybody. God calls out to those from every tribe, tongue, and nation. That is the teaching of Scripture, the New Testament and the Old Testament. Every ethnicity to come and claim a new nationality, a spiritual nationality. That's what we have when we come to Christ, a spiritual nationality, not a nationality that's tied to a place on earth. A nationality that's tied to God, tied to heaven. That's the nationality we have. That's the identity. And so you can see the difference already. Other people, let me give you another example. Some people limit their identity to politics. We live in a very politicized society, more than ever before. You're either left wing or you're right wing. And people live their lives according to what side of the political spectrum they have chosen. That's their identity. That's the whole of their identity. Well, how is it for Christians? What about the Scriptures? Some people ask, are the Scriptures, is the Bible left-wing or is the Bible right-wing? A lot of people ask that. Well, dear friends, I always answer the question, it's neither. The Scriptures are on the side of truth. It is the word of truth. It's not following a political agenda. We're not colored by some political manifesto. It's what is true. That's what a Christian follows after. What is true about the world? What is true about man? What is true about God? No political ideologies. We observe and we see the truth and we live our lives according to truth. That's what defines us. That's what gives us our identity. We are people of truth. And the Word of God as the psalmist says, is true from the very beginning. So, dear friends, I'll just give you two examples. We could have looked at many more, but time is running on. Let us think of the one who is at the very center of the Christian religion, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the truth about him? What is his identity? The identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people say different things. Christ was just a magician of some sort. He was just a great orator. He just got lucky. He's just an ordinary man. That's how people identify Christ. But what is his true identity? Well, we read in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ always identified himself with God. He identified himself with God as God. I and my Father are one. That is what the Lord said, John chapter 10 and verse 30. He identified with God because he was God. He is God. Well, he showed forth all the miracles, those glorious signs and wonders, marvels that no man had ever seen before, to prove that he was God amongst them, God with us, as had been prophesied. He spoke words that no man had ever heard before. People would go and hear him, and his words were so pure, so piercing, so wise. No man spake like this man, they said of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course not, because he was God. And above all, that which proved that he was very God, he was without sin. He never committed any sin, no crime, no cruel or malicious word or deed, no spot or blemish upon him at all. He's God. Even when he stood on trial before Pontius Pilate, you know this. What did Pilate say? I can see no fault in this man, because there was no fault in this man. He was God, the Son of God, equal with the Father, holy, just as God the Father is holy, the sinless God-man, the Son of God. That was his identity, his true identity. Now, that's very different to our identity. Let me try and pose this to you this evening. How do you identify yourself in terms of sin? How do you identify yourself? Do you identify yourself as a good person or a bad person? A saint or a sinner? Now, most people, if you ask them, they will say, I'm a good person. I'm very good. Yes, I do some things wrong, but you know, at heart, I'm a good person. That's the teaching of the world, but it's not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible teaches that our true identity, by nature, we are all sinners. By nature. Now, man, of course, was created in God's image, but man disobeyed God. Man, the first man, Adam, rebelled against his creator, disobeyed God, and sinned. And ever since that time, that moment, the identity of man changed. God made Adam upright, a good man, but Adam changed his identity because of his sin. He chose to change his identity, and he became a sinner through his disobedience. He became a sinner, and all his descendants after him, all of us, we're all from Adam, we're all by nature sinners. And this is such a sad thing. But it is written and it is true. That's our identity in God's sight. Sinners who are not right with God. Sinners who have broken the law of God. Sinners who have to stand before God at the end of our lives and give an account. Sinners who stand to be punished for our sins. That's our identity. But dear friends, this is why Christ came into the world. To save us from that punishment that we deserve from that judgment. And it's only by believing in him, only by identifying with him, that we may be saved. And this is what we read of here in this verse. I've neglected it somewhat, and I'll just be quick looking at this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. What does this mean? Well, this means that Christians, we identify with Christ's death and his resurrection. Buried with him, risen with him. We identify with his death and his resurrection. You know, I'm sure, every single one of you, Christ died on the cross, but he rose again the third day. What an incredible thing, a true historical event. And we as Christians, we identify with that. That is what baptism is a picture of. We are buried with him. Every Christian, every true born-again believer dies to his old identity, to his sinful identity. He dies to that. He turns away from his sin. He turns away from his old lusts and passions. That is no more. That's gone. That's dead and buried. This is what it means. That's what every Christian experiences, a death. He's no longer the old person that he was. He has repented. The old person is dead and buried. And that's what we see in baptism. When they go into the water, it's a sign that they are buried. By the way, that's the reason why it's full immersion. Some people ask you, isn't a sprinkling enough? Well, it doesn't really convey this idea of buried. If we are buried, we are dead and buried. Full immersion. A sprinkling doesn't convey that. It's full immersion because we are buried with him in baptism. And that is very true. We identify with that. But then we are risen with him. When our two friends will emerge out of the water, it means they identify with Christ's resurrection. What a glorious thing to be identified with. The greatest event in earth's history. Christ died, he rose again. He appeared to his disciples, of course. He ascended up into heaven, and he is even now seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. A Christian identifies with all of that. The old person that they were, as I've just explained, dies, but they are born again. They come up out of the water, a new nature, a new person, a heavenly nature, a holy nature. Now they love the things of God. Now they love the people of God. Now they love worshiping and praising God. They would never have worshiped God before. But that old person has gone. He's dead. Now they are a new creation who loves God and desires God. They have spiritual life. They understand the Bible. They're able to pray. They could never pray before. Now they can. They have a full appreciation of the gospel message, a full appreciation of why Christ died. Christ died. They never understood it before. Now they do. Christ died for me. When Christ died on the cross, he was taking the punishment for my sin. Now I understand it. This is what it means. The old person, the person who hated God, the person who had no understanding, has gone. Now, a new person has come, a holy person, one with a heavenly nature, one who understands all that Christ has done for them. And so, this is a glorious picture, dear friends. And one more thing, just to point out, when we read these words, you know, this is actually a prophecy. Baptism, when you see a baptism, it's a prophecy. It's a picture of things to come. Because these two dear friends this evening, when they present this witness to you, it's a prophecy that these two dear friends will never die. They will never die, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. We will never die. Yes, when the end of their life on earth comes to an end, they will taste a physical death. Their bodies will die, but they themselves will go to be with the Lord. They will not truly taste death. They will go to be with the Lord. Just as Christ died and rose again and is even now in heaven, that is what we will be like. That is what they will be like. Yes, they may die, but we will go to be with the Lord in heavenly places. This is a prophecy you're seeing. They will die, they will rise again. A glorious, triumphant prophecy. This is what we identify with. Far greater than anything else we could identify with on the earth. Now, let me just finish with this final part of the verse. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, this seems quite complicated and I'll only touch on it briefly. But the first thing to say is that word faith. Every Christian has faith. In order to be baptized, you must have faith. In order for a baptism to be a valid baptism, you must have faith. Faith in everything that I've spoken about this evening. You must believe these things. You must believe that Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that he was the sinless Son of God who truly lived on earth. You must believe that he died for your sin and that he rose again from the grave and is even now at the right hand of the Father, and that when you die, you don't actually die, you go to be with him. You must have faith in all of those things. Do you believe in those things? We must, if we are to truly count ourselves as children of God, if we are to present that sound witness in baptism, we must have faith. And the only way we can have faith, well, it's even here. The only way we can have faith is through the Lord. It is a gift of God. Faith does not come from us. It is the operation of God, not man. You know, people say to me often, I don't have any faith. I don't have the same faith that you do. And well, that's no surprise to me because, well, you're just an ordinary man, an ordinary woman. Faith comes from God. It's the operation of God. God gives us faith. If you want faith, you ask God for it. And we will hear this even in our brother's testimony. You come to the Lord. Lord, give me that faith. It's his work. Everything that has happened in the lives of these believers is God's work, God's workmanship. That's why, and I just finish with this, that's why we never clap or applaud during the baptisms. Because it's not their work. It's the Lord's work. If you want to rejoice, you pick up your hymn book and you sing with great joy. But we don't applaud the individuals because it's the operation of God. It's God's workmanship. And this is what we must understand. So, dear friends, I say these things to give you that sound understanding of baptism and to exhort those of you who are as yet outside the kingdom to come to him, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. We identify with Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins and life forevermore. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee that thou art the God who saves sinners, and that when we cry unto thee seeking faith and mercy and grace, thou shalt hear us and answer us. Oh, dear Lord, look upon each and every one of us gathered here and those listening to this message, so work in them, O Lord, that they may have that faith that leads them to salvation, that enables them to identify with Christ. Lord, we ask all these things in His name and for His sake. Amen.